Let's get started. I'm just going to make a few announcements and ultimately turn it over to my friend and colleague Howard Bossen to truly do a better job than I could possibly ever do introducing our wonderful speakers today. My name is Sean Beck, and I co-direct with my friend and colleague here at the Museum for Jewkers. Our daily work of daily lives, I believe that we're in the 18th or 19th year of our Brown Bag series. And we were just talking about that earlier, and it's amazing how the time goes. And the nice thing is that, as I've explained numerous times to anyone who's in the room, this series is really my guilty little pleasure, because I get to hear just the best of the best of possible speakers and your presentations. So it's been a real pleasure to coordinate this all of these years. So I've asked Bill to simply get things moving over there in terms of handouts, so let me just announce. First thing that's going to be coming around is the rest of the fall lineup. We have wonderful speakers. So do put that on your refrigerator and make sure that you comment. Feel free to take many copies and give them to friends and family. Or use them as fish wrappers, as the kids have been. Next week, Dan Bender is going to be here. He's in the History Department at the University of Toronto. And he's going to be talking about a fascinating thing, which is it's called Laboring the Zoo, the Human Work of Animals. And Dan's research looks at how zoos have been conflicted workplaces. And one of the major reasons that they were conflicted workplaces is this whole kind of change that went on in the nature of zoos and how they were looked at both on the one side as businesses and also as breeding centers for endangered animals and different issues of mission. Also coming around is a save the date. Another campus series is called Sharper Focus, Wider Lens that I coordinate over at the Honors College. In conjunction with the current exhibit here, Department Surgeon, we're doing a four faculty panel called Detroit, the Past, Present, and Future of the City on October 21st at 7 p.m. And that's over in the Union Ballroom. I think you would find this to be quite interesting. Four different faculty members who are working on either the history of Detroit, including Rodney Whitaker, who's going to be talking about the history of jazz in Detroit as part of the four-person panel. So that would be a lot of fun. And last but not least, coming around are cards that describe the Detroit Research and Project, but most importantly, the book, which will be available come next April, and some wonderful shots, the portraits of seven of the individuals who are in the exhibit here, and the exhibit will be moved to Detroit. And so that's coming around. So let me just introduce today's topic and then ask Howard to do a proper introduction of our two speakers. The exhibits downstairs is spectacular. Historian document of our role on the one side and the Detroit Research on the other. Gilles Perrin and Nicola Vincic have been just unbelievable collaborators with us here at the Image Museum in relation to this project. The topic today, and then I'm going to hand it over to Howard for a proper introduction of these two wonderful people. It's called Life in Large Format, 25 years of work with portraits. And please help me in welcoming both Howard and our guests for today's Brown Bag.
Just getting my instructions on how to deal with the mic. I want to actually start with a quick introduction of not Jill, but two students who are here this afternoon, who without their assistance over the last year, I don't think any of this would have come together. So to my research assistants, Kathleen and Marissa, everybody at the museum, everybody involved in the project, thanks you. So, Gilles and Nicole. opportunity to see some of Gilles' portraits, which just struck me as really, really powerful images that really speak to sort of the core of humanity, that really reveal the souls of the people that he's photographed. And I really wanted to figure out some way of doing some kind of project. Shortly after I met them, I discovered that my wife and I were going to be in Paris on some research that I was doing, and they invited us over to their studio. And instead of the 20 pictures I saw at this professional meeting, I had the opportunity, or we had the opportunity, to see several hundred images. And to say that I was sort of hooked on their work is sort of an understatement. I just really fell in love with the power of these portraits. Curators are always thinking about projects, how you can go about doing one, getting something put together. And an awful lot of the time, whether a project comes together or not, really depends on a whole variety of circumstances, sometimes beyond any of our controls, and sometimes sort of being in the right sort of right spot at the right time. And the right spot really is this museum. Deep appreciation to and commitment to worker culture. And while not all of Gilles' huge body of work deals with worker culture, there are probably a little over 4,000 portraits made over the last 20-some years of workers from all over the world performing different kinds of work. You go down in the gallery, you see some people who perform real manual labor in terms of very old ways of working, farming, fishing. You also see some of the most amazing knowledge workers, like our own Hannah professor of nuclear physics, Wolfgang Mittig, in the gallery. And sort of everybody in between. One of the things that fascinates Gilles and Nicole, and I will make this really, really brief because I know they're going to talk more about that, but they're interested in transitions. And both of the projects we have on display deal with transitions. The Extraordinary Document of Our World deals with transitions in most of the pictures, but not all, in terms of the old way is being pressured out, going away. And Detroit Resurgent really is about the resiliency of people who are finding new ways to go forward, oftentimes in under difficult circumstances. So the way they work is Gilles makes the pictures, and Nicole literally does everything else. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Howard.
I speak very bad English. And Nicole speak for me and translate for me.
So I will first read you two sentences she wrote. Can you hear me properly? Is it better like that? I don't know. Yeah? Yeah. It seems to be better. Yeah. While I have no illusions about my ability to fight the injustices that I observe around me, it is nevertheless my duty as a human being and as a photographer to document them. So we start with life in large format. We call it large format because he uses a large format camera. You may have seen if you downstairs at the just in the middle of the first space. That's a very an image which symbolizes injustice, and I will tell you why. We were driving. That's in Peru, a demonstration for the closing of Of the factory, sugarcane factory. We were driving back by, and we saw those people demonstrating on one side of the street, and on the other side of the streets were policemen. So we decided to stop, and I went to Olga on the left and told her what we were doing, and asked her if maybe it's better like this. We tried before, but
maybe if it turned out a little more, it might be better.
Exists.
No. It's difficult.
Attends, je fais. I'm used to doing that. I think you can hear me, can't you?
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
It's doing this. The bells will stop soon.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Let's take just a minute. Without the mic. We'll hear you on recording.
Yes. That's enough.
We'll turn you off, but we'll keep you on.
Okay.
So we were driving back. I went to Olga, asked her if she would like us to be photographed with the people, and explained her what we were doing, reporting on what's going on in the world. And so she stopped and she said, yes, please do that, please. And really report around the world of what's happening here. And so we had to be very quick. You will see there are single shots and diptychs and triptychs. And you can imagine that shooting two images takes longer time than just one shot. So we had to be very quick, knowing that the policemen were just in our back. And we are always very, very moved, and it's our duty to show you this image and the others that will follow.
Maintenant, c'est une série d'images sur les travailleurs ordinaires dans différents pays, les conditions de travail.
So you have a series of images of just ordinary people, ordinary work, and the way you see the conditions in which they work. Those guys just make the wonderful pots and the blue ones and yellow ones you can buy everywhere in Egypt, and you can see the conditions in which they're working. And that woman sells vegetable in
the street.
At the market in Luxor. This one looks much happier than the previous ones, and that's in Paris suburb. She has works in a store and selling red fish. Some of the works, jobs you will see there, as Howard explained, just really disappearing. And this one is the last one who prints in as a lithograph. And this one is also the last one working this way with metals. Those are in Paris, the two former ones. Strange to us, unusual jobs. This woman from Peru peeled potatoes, and so you just come to the market and buy peeled potatoes ready to be cooked. That young woman comes from Cuba, and she was photographed in the center of France, where we were commissioned to photograph people who migrated in that area, in which most people from which most people go out of. And she married a baker, and was really happy to show us that now she's a baker and very happy to share her bread with customers. This is a series we've done in Paris. It's Craftsmen in Paris. And so this guy is a shoemaker, and you can go there and choose the skin you want, the color, of course, and he will measure your feet and have the shoe you want made and properly made. This is in Egypt.
No, Mali.
No, sorry, yeah, Mali. And he's also making, but not shoes, but cloth. And with his sewing machine on his head. Now we are in China, and this man makes skills. And you see, that's very simple. At the same time, it's something we may have forgotten here in our areas, I mean, in the Western countries. A potter.
In Mali?
In Mali, and we met in a potter village. And another potter in Egypt. So you will see that also in the different portraits, you see similar jobs in different countries, and you can see the tools they use and the way they put their hands to work. So we are in China here.
Blacksmith.
And this one is in the north of France, another blacksmith.
Ça, c'est au Mali.
And this is in Mali. So also a very specific work you can find in Egypt. Is they make those incredible objects and things very useful, like seats and beds and cages, out of palm trees. So you'll see some people making adobe bricks. This is in Tibet. Here we are in Peru.
Ça, c'est...
And now some very essential things, cakes.
In France.
This is in France, and this man is part of what we call Meilleur Ouvrier de France, which is one of the best craftsmen in France. And this one just offers us the Italian cooking. He migrated to France and has a restaurant, Italian cooking. You may know this person if you go to Detroit, and he started the first food truck. I'm awfully sorry, normally, when we meet people, we never leave them without noting their name and what they're doing. And I was too short in time to write on each one the name, which I normally do, and as you will see in the exhibition. And just now I forgot his name.
Anthony Curtis.
Anthony Curtis, thank you, yeah. And he also has
a gallery,
so two things. And we were very proud, and he was very proud to show his food trucks. People were lining up. In different areas, something, a basic thing is weaving. So we are now on Titicaca Lake in Peru, and men and women weave. Here,
Tibet.
A woman in Tibet,
and
one in France, and we are in Peru here. same tools.
Now, Tibet,
we are in Tibet, and that's the usual way you find butcher on the street. So they kill the animal and they sell it on the spot. So you just choose the part you want, and that's normal. Daily life. Another butcher somewhere else here is in France. Another way to work. Here you are in Peru.
Cusco.
In Cusco.
Celle-là aussi.
And here you're also in Cusco. So different ways to show poultry and meat.
Ça, ce sont des femmes qui font du terrassement.
So we met those two women working on the road in Tibet. And it's...
Pour me moquer, je dis que c'est la victoire du marxisme-léninisme parce qu'ils font faire des travaux très durs aux femmes.
So, like a joke, Gilles says that it's the victory of Marxism and Leninism because they have the women work on the roads.
Ça, c'est un carpenter.
Here you see a carpenter
in Tibet.
And in Tibet.
In China.
And another one in China. And here we are in South
India.
India, where we had the chance to meet that framer on the market. We love going on markets. It tells you a lot about the way people live, really. And this man was just bringing back some wood from outside. And we don't have very often the opportunity to meet people working in salt mines. In fact, very often we meet people just strolling around, and we were passing by and we discovered there was a salt mine here. So we stopped and went to that woman.
Alors ça c'est comment on travaille.
This is another part. This is my work, preparing the a journey to one place or another one. When Gilles decides where he wants to go and meet people and photograph them. So the way he this happens, he may have had a very bad night and look on TV very interesting programs, or just have or read some interesting things in newspapers or magazines, and then he comes to me and say, "Let's go to Peru." I say, "Okay, what do you want to do in Peru?" I photograph peasants, okay? Which part? Peasants. Where? Peasants. Find where they are, okay? And when do we leave? In a month. Ah, okay. So I start inquiring, talking to people around me, sending emails to friends, and talking and exchanging in any way, in any manner. And I always, always find a contact, which leads me to another one. Just the way we meet people, always. So you will see in the vitrine downstairs that that's the camera which has traveled with us all along these years. We love it, you can imagine. The way I was talking about large format, so, the process is really much different and very different and much longer than using a digital camera. You have a film holder, you have the film, and each film goes in the film holder, which goes in the camera, which is on a tripod. And setting up all that, Jill starts a ceremony with the person he will photograph. And
So it's a way to exchange beyond the words very often and with a body language. And you'll see, I think it works quite well.
The main thing
is that the exchange is really complete. As when Gilles takes out the film from the film holder, he waits 30 seconds and for the development process to occur, and then he opens the sides of the film, and on one side there's a negative, and on the other side is the positive, so which allows us to give the positive right away to the person we photographed. And being in Paris or in very remote places, you will see we went to, the surprise is the same word, just kids when looking at that image. And the bucket you see behind has also traveled with us. Inside is a film holder and water and chemical to carry the film until we have a spot where she can rinse the negative and have them dry on the string.
Et quelquefois, on a des surprises.
Sometimes we have surprises and people who want to talk to us, you know, in the car. So they're always welcome, you see? So here we are in Tibet.
C'est les travailleurs intellectuels et artistes.
This starts with the intellectual workers and artists. So,
c'est le lama principal du
this
monastère.
This is the head of the lama in the monastery we went to. You may know Grace Boggs. Do you?
No.
Okay. So we were really happy we could meet her last year when we were in Detroit. We had a great conversation with her, really, it was an honor. And Judith Levy is
Attorney,
mm-hmm. Yes. And I think she moves on very well. Here we have a woman, a lawyer, fighting for women's rights. And it's not a small thing. We are in Egypt here. And here in Detroit, Ron Scott fights for
brutalité policière.
Police brutality. Yeah, thank you. And here, we're just next door, meeting who is a professor in nuclear physics. In Egypt, we can see that architect.
And c'est ici.
Here, you may know that person.
Le grand spécialiste des... Je sais
who
plus.
Is the... Remember me his name, please.
Randall Scott.
Randall Scott.
Et c'est le grand spécialiste
Jesus Randall, who is the specialist of comics. And we discovered that's the great thing, is that when we meet people, there's always an exchange and a discovery in any way. And there we discovered what a huge heritage you have in that the comics. And he pointed out some French comics when we came.
C'est en Égypte.
So here we're in Egypt, and
la première commandant de bord sur Égypte Terre.
Comment est-ce qu'on dit?
Captain.
So I'm trying to remember her name.
Charlie.
Charlie. Yeah, we call her Charlie. Charlie is the Thank you. The first captain on was the first captain on Egypt Air, and after that, other women followed her, and she still is, in fact. That was in China, and it was 1989, and he's a film director. Here in France, in the north of France, that was at a very specific time at the closing of the coal mines. And it's cultural that people from that area meet and join bands.
Oui, puis les orchestres aussi.
And orchestras, bands. You may know Bob, Bob Dylan. So here he is. And back to France, Sophie Balabanian, who is a singer and an actor.
C'est une sculpteur en Chine.
This woman prepares specific sculpture to put the traditional ink. Also a very specific job. She is a dancer. We are in
India.
In India, she's a dancer and a transsexual, and to make her living, she is also a prostitute, and she's part of a caste, and they have their specific place in the society there. On one part, we could exchange with her. On one part, they're completely rejected, and one of the parts is in family. And on the part, on the other part, they need them because you're not allowed to have a sexual
relation
before marriage. So that's a way to have sexual relation. Before marriage, because with transsexuals that's allowed.
Ah, ça c'est travail très dur de certains travailleurs.
Some people work with tools and other with their bodies. Here we are in Huangshan in China. And which is a very specific mountains, a mountain where a lot of people go to, related to all the paintings. And so there are elevators for the people visiting the place, but the workers are not allowed to use those elevators to bring up all the goods and anything goes on their back. Tradition here with that man who irons clothes in Egypt. Tradition also in Egypt. This woman embroiders trousseau, and it's sometimes tough to meet people and explain them what we're doing. I came to visit to see her, explain her what we were doing, and she said, "No problem, you can photograph me." And then I said, "No, I'm not a photographer. The man outside is the photographer."
Elle peut pas se montrer.
And she cannot show herself to a man. So we had to discuss, and one of the women nearby said, "Look, if you put your clothes, the one you are working on, in fact, on your head, then this can work." So very quickly, I just went to Gilles and said, "Come on, quickly, before they change their mind." We're in Paris. Accordions, he plays, makes, and repairs accordions.
Oui, c'est très particulier quand même.
This is really a very specific job.
Lui
That's
aussi.
And also a very specific job. In the north of France, there is a tradition to raise fighting cocks, and it is on one side it is forbidden, but everybody knows it happens and it's still on. That's how it works. It's a tradition. And also here you see captain on her boat. Well, in fact, carrying goods on her boat in the north of France. This man.
C'est spécifique aussi.
Also, has a very specific job.
In Laos.
We are in Laos, and he is. You can see he has a gun, and he protects his village. He's a militia, and he explained. They explained us that. He protects the village against CIA
intervention.
Interventions. So Frogman here in Ireland, ready to die. we are in the area here. This is mid Michigan, and Howard, what is his name? Yes, thank you. I'm quite tired today, so just words are just flying away. So she
coupe la laine des moutons.
Yeah, shearing a sheep. This is something. Yeah, he's the hairdresser. Huh? In a way, and so this is on my hand. another way also to carry, sell goods. Bicycle in India, and another bicycle in India.
Ça, c'est les conditions de travail.
So the way we work also
avec
on the spot.
Ma nouvelle assistante.
So Gilles here has a new assistant, as you can see. She holds the. She helps Gilles put the. The negative in the bucket.
La même chose.
En Finlande. I want to say that we are here in Burkina Faso, and we had the chance to travel with a very good friend who is a great photographer, who is 89 now, and that was just 4 years ago. She wanted to come with us, and well, she photographed us at work, Sabine Weiss. If you have the opportunity to see her work, just have a look. She's just doing fantastic things.
Digital?
No. Now she works with a digital camera. She started, taking digital camera and working with digital camera when she was 85. But before, She worked with analog, view camera. You see, huh? It's never too late. So,
la même chose en Finlande.
Here is the same. Jill photographed that man, and he's looking at the process and the positive. We're here in Finland. Another one in Finland.
Quand tu donnes les positifs.
One or two, twice, never more. So sometimes they're so similar that we compare one to the other and have the people we photograph choose.
Mais là, c'était un diptyque, alors c'est pour ça qu'il y en a deux.
In this one, he photographed a diptych. So I was just showing them how things match together.
Les paysans.
So, peasants here in China.
C'est le paysan traditionnel avec le buffle.
So, tradition, working with a buffalo. And here another one, also.
Tibet.
And here we're in Tibet.
Avec les yaks et le lait et la comment la fourrure.
With yaks, milk, and the
la laine. Les poils.
Non, c'est pas les poils. C'est
la laine.
It, the wool of the cattle.
Yak. Et ça, c'est un vieux paysan, très vieux.
A very old man, 82. Hmm? He was 82 in Tibet. We photographed. Again, it was just passing by, and we saw him. He was sitting and working in his field. So we went to him and asked him if we could photograph him. We are in Peru, and I still have, how to say, goosebumps. Seeing this couple who has nothing, barefoot, and just working in a small field they have, and just having a few potatoes by their side. And when we finished photographing them, they said, please stay with us and share our meal.
Ça, c'est ici.
Here, Aaron, with this sweet pork.
Piggy.
Piggy. Gilles loves pork. He was brought up in the center of France. He loves animals, but especially porks. Yeah. So he was delighted we yes. could go to grandpa's best pork.
Yes.
Best pork.
He's good for and sausage.
And we had very nice conversation with Aaron. This is really a very, very hard work. Is that man is a sugarcane worker. I don't know if you know about picking up sugarcane, but you put fire on the field, and just when it's done, sugarcane workers start cutting the cane. So you can imagine it's awfully hot, dreadfully hot. And also you can see the floor, what's on the floor. It's really difficult just to walk in.
What country is that?
Oh, sorry.
In Peru.
This is in Peru.
Ça, c'est des paysans qui reviennent du marché au Nord Vietnam.
This is in North Vietnam, and we photographed those peasants just coming back from market. We are in Paris suburb, and they were the last ones to have a field, and really in Paris suburb. Now it no longer exists. And she just offered us the radish she picked up.
Ça, c'est
we are in Africa,
en Éthiopie.
In Ethiopia, and so this shows you the way Gilles works, and I was talking before about the whole ceremony. So now this is just in the middle of the ceremony, and I'm just asking the young girl to turn a little bit, just to face the camera, and you can see here also how it works. Gilles uses this tripod camera, and he always has a flash. He holds, or he has an assistant, or I hold it, to add light in the eyes, and also to have softer shadow around the face. Here are peasants
in Ethiopia.
In Ethiopia, we met on the road, and
fait la cuisine.
She prepares she grinds the corn to prepare bread.
C'est un guerrier.
South Ethiopia, in the Omo Valley, men are warriors. They may be naked, half naked, completely naked. They have their guns. They are all wearing this. This is another one. Because, and you see, I was really struck by the way they hold and they cherish their guns. They are very honored when, je crois qu'il y a un, le, en bas, il y a le,
le quoi?
Celui qui, le tueur là.
Oui.
You will see in the gallery, there is a very, very handsome guy from that area who was honored because he could kill
trois personnes.
People.
La veille.
And well, when we met, he had just killed three people and the previous day. So he was honored for that in his tribe.
D'autres conditions de travail.
So this shows you sometimes shows you the way we work sometimes. Here we are in Ireland, and Gilles always say to people, please face the camera and stand still in front of the camera. Sometimes it's
difficult.
Tough when you are on a boat and tide is coming up. And well, after the shooting, he went on board. Here it was easier in a larger boat, also in Ireland.
C'est les
pêcheurs. We're invited to go to Ireland to photograph people of the sea. So this fisherman is part of that series. And those two guys too, they invited us on board and we spend the day there going fishing with them. And those are they fish wild salmon also in Ireland. And here we are in Peru. Conditions may be very tough everywhere in the world. Here he spent the day at sea and he's sitting on his boat, and this is what he brought back after one day fishing.
C'est en Irlande aussi.
In Finland?
No,
this is an island. He has these comment s'appelle?
Crabs.
And
c'est le retour.
He took them out of the sea to be sold. And here is the seaweed breeder. Would you say breeder for seaweed?
Ça, c'est en Finlande et les pêcheurs sur le lac.
So, those guys are in Finland and they fish on the lake.
Et ça, c'est en Égypte.
Here you are in Egypt with just a very simple fisherman fishing with his net. And that was not two centuries ago.
Et bien, ça, c'est la même chose en Irlande.
Same thing in Ireland. He repairs. It shows you the way they repair their net. And she is very happy to show us. And she sells the fish that her husband fishes.
C'est Mali.
And this is in Mali. And that woman sells the dry fish.
Et ça, c'est...
Sometimes we have long conversations with pals, particularly in Finland, because they're very friendly. And we always had to be very careful. They love coming to us and also coming to the tripod and looking at the camera. So we had to always stand by the camera to be sure that it wouldn't fall down.
Mais aussi on dialogue ensemble.
And we exchange with people, we exchange with animals, but we also exchange, I mean, the two of us. preparing after the next day, and at the end of the day, the shooting day, preparing things and talking about with what we've done that very specific day.
Alors ça, c'est ici.
Here in Detroit, Yul Allen. This guy is just incredible, and he has fantastic ideas, and he knows how to teach mathematics and much more than that to kids. And this woman here is in Egypt, and many girls are not allowed to go to school, and here we have a woman teaching to a young girl.
Et il y en a d'autres qui travaillent.
And others work here in India, or
Peru.
Here in Peru, that they have their taking care of the
grocery
in the village.
En Inde.
A beggar in India, a small, a young girl.
Ramasse le bois.
Just taking the wood to a place, and here in Egypt, and as an homage to kids who work everywhere in the world, I would like to. Just say a few words concerning this one, and I could say much more on the others. But we just arrived in that place, and she looked so sad and miserable. And there were other kids, boys around her, and we asked the master to photograph her. And okay, he said yes. I think he didn't have much choice. So we settled the whole thing. And we asked her to stand still and look at the lens. And the guy was coming to me and say, now it's time for her to go back to work. So now let's move on and go, because she needs to go back to work. And we gave her her portrait. And immediately the boys around her took it away and just teared it off. One other kid working in Egypt, and another one.
In Mali.
This is in Mali. So,
il y a des métiers moins durs.
Are the kind of jobs, grown-ups?
C'est à Détroit.
For his name.
Anthony.
Thank you. In fact, I will show you the pictures, and you give me the captions. We are in Cobo Hall. Here is Mr.
Tony
Hernandez the second.
Et ça, c'est en Chine aussi.
So sometimes we have exhibitions. Here it's in China, and we're just putting up things in order. And the picture you see is one of
Tibet
people under the tent, pilgrims, nomads.
Ça, c'est l'industrie.
Industry, you were talking, John, before about, how do you say that in English? Working animals, but it was something different.
Yeah.
Well, working animals. So here you see the woods, and that's the way they carry woods and other goods in India. That's very frequent.
C'est la même chose, mais en Finlande.
It's the same thing in Finland. We could see those guys have just a fantastic machine, because in 30 seconds they just cut down a tree that may be 50 years old, a century, and they, in less than 30 seconds, it's cut down, put in pieces, and each piece is put at the proper place. Here we are in China, and we in front of the Coca-Cola factory in
Shanghai.
In Shanghai, and her job is to pick up by hand every leaf on the lawn.
C'est une fonderie au Pérou.
Foundry in Peru. So sometimes we have to dress up also. So we have to wear those masks and to just for pollution. And so you can imagine that Gilles was not able to keep the mask when he made a focus on those forks. Here is also something very dear to Gilles' heart. This was at the closing of the coal mines in the north of France in 1989, and he asked to go down, to go below, and this is nearly 3,000 feet below, and so he joined the workers and spent 8 hours with them and shared their life.
Merci.
With another one there. Here we are in Shanghai.
C'est la construction des bateaux.
A naval factory. You say it this way?
Shipyard.
Shipyard. Yeah. Thank you. Caption, please.
Bob Kim.
Thank you.
C'est aussi quelqu'un qui est en rapport avec l'industrie.
And he's also related to industry, of course. UAW. And Jet Kulaga, we met at Vico Metal Factory, was very happy to be photographed and explaining us that she was very happy to work there.
Oui, oui, elle voulait de l'argent pour retourner à l'école.
She put aside money and she said that in a few years she'll be able to go back to school.
C'est en Irlande.
Here we are in Finland.
Non, Irlande.
Ireland, excuse me.
In France.
And here in France.
In China.
In China. Toi, tu peux dire.
Oui. In Mali. C'est le même type de travail dans des endroits différents.
Same type of work in different areas, different countries.
Et ça, c'est la construction des scanners pour General Electric à Shanghai.
We are in Shanghai and General Electric has his scanners made there.
Ça, c'est quand on voyage.
When we travel, so you may see that there's a shower. So I was very happy when we just came in. I said, ah, at least there's a shower. But there was no water. Another place also in Burkina Faso. And you can see water is very important everywhere. So I always think of how many bottles we must carry everywhere, just to be sure that and in how many days we will find water.
On boit beaucoup d'eau.
And you can imagine, we drink a lot of water when it is, 48 degrees Celsius. I don't know. Yeah.
Et puis, mais on boit pas toujours de l'eau.
At sometimes. We have wine and good wine to share.
Voilà, et
c'est
fini.
That's the end, folks.
If someone would just turn on the lights, that would be wonderful. Now, we're going to take a gallery walk in a few minutes. This is a perfect time to ask any questions that you have or make any comments that you have on the presentation.
As a child, I was inspired by the work called The Family of Man. I wonder whether that is a photographic essay from around the world, and it has a tremendous resemblance to the characters that you show in your films. Have you heard of this one?
Tell me more.
What's it called?
Family of Man.
Yes, I know, of course.
Yes.
It was one of the most inspiring photographic essays I've ever seen. And I wondered if that was an influence on your work.
Yes. Yes, si ça t'a beaucoup influencé.
Je dois dire que j'ai été beaucoup plus influencé par Auguste Sander que par Family of Man.
He was more influenced by Auguste Sander than
et Lewis Hine.
And by Lewis Hine also.
Okay.
The Polaroid picture, is that a process that you did the black and white and gave that to the girl who's picture was born out?
Yes.
That's a very nice gesture to the process right there, and you leave that with the person.
It was, it's no longer made, you know?
Yeah, I was wondering if it was still made. I see the Polaroid.
PM55.
There with the little tube there, we used to use those to...
Yes, that's right. Yes, yes.
That's a long time ago.
Les derniers films sont sortis en 2008.
In 2008, and we used it until 2011.
Interesting.
Yes, and the last shot was really moving because it was the last one.
What was brought up is sort of this notion of exchange that the two of you have. And in the Polaroid days, you exchange with the subjects by giving them a physical product.
Yes.
While the basic method of shooting hasn't changed, because your basic concepts haven't changed, the way you exchange has had to change. So could you talk about that for a moment?
On fait, oui, ça change beaucoup. Mais, tu vas traduire. Avec le film normal, j'ai vu avec Détroit que je pouvais faire les mêmes photos parce que je n'étais pas sûr.
First, he was not sure, and he could experience that working on Detroit project, he could still make the same kind of portrait that he was doing before, using a 4x5 inch film, you know? And so he could still do that. Of course, we couldn't give the picture to the person, but he could still photograph the same way.
Et puis, comme on fait des petites photos numériques, ça permet, on ne donne pas la photo tout de suite, mais ça permet de l'envoyer le lendemain ou le surlendemain à la personne.
And we use digital camera also. So each time on the Detroit project, he photographed someone. After that, he put the digital camera on the tripod and photographed the person. So after that, we could send the image.
Mais ça sera pas possible dans des pays comme l'Afrique.
But this is not possible working in Africa. We have to find another way to.
Mais Fuji fabrique un film instantané en couleur et peut-être que je donnerai des photos couleur aux gens, mais ça sera pas la photo que j'aurais faite avec la caméra grand
Fuji
format.
Fuji makes those instant film in color. So he's thinking of also using that film to be able to give it right away to people. Though it won't be exactly the same, but it's a way to exchange.
Now, let me just remind you that there are sign-in sheets. So if you haven't signed in, please do. And other questions or comments, do you want to ask your hand? Yes, Philip.
You have a preference for black and white over color, and why is that?
Pourquoi tu préfères le noir et blanc à la couleur?
Parce que la couleur, le noir et blanc, c'est beaucoup plus graphique, c'est beaucoup plus dramatique, c'est beaucoup plus théâtral.
Black and white is more graphic, theatrical,
and dramatical. Et pour moi, faire des portraits en couleur, la couleur amène des éléments qui m'intéresse pas du tout, qui ça distrait le spectateur.
He's not interested in using the color picture because color will distract your eyes and you won't focus on the essential.
Et ça peut être différent pour d'autres photographes.
Yeah, it may be different for other photographers, of course.
Other questions or comments? Well, let us please thank Gilles and Nicole.
Thank you.